Blog Talk Radio.
Oakley, and this is TS Radio Network, and we are getting no feedback tonight, so I think my skill at correcting the system has worked. Anyway, tonight's show is Whistleblowers, and it's brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit, taking place at the end of July every year in Washington, D.C., of which I am a proud member. Thank you very much. And the public is always cordially invited to the summit. And this last year, it was, what a crowd. It's getting bigger every year. We need to support the summit in every possible way we can. This is the only outlet most of these people have for the issues that affect their lives, the intimidation, the retaliation, the dysfunction of these federal agencies, and now including my own cause, guardianship abuse and the culling of the elderly through hospice, through theft of estates, and many other things that are going on. So this is a show that fully supports that issue. We fully support the veterans, and we fully support the workers from USDA and the women of forestry, and tonight we are very fortunate to have another of those with us. Co-hosting me, with me tonight, of course, is Lawrence Lucas. Lawrence, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, and thanks for having us on tonight.
Oh, I'm so glad everything's going okay so far. our guest last week, Lawrence, was to have been Melody. And Melody Mobley, and she had been a employee of the forestry, and through a mix-up, we weren't able to get her on last week, so we wanted to get her on this way so she could speak. Melody, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Marty.
Oh, very glad to have you. I want to read a little bit to our audience about your bio here. It says you endured racism and sexism, among other forms of discrimination, from USDA Forest Service leadership. I'm so sick of hearing that, Melody. I can't stand it. Supervisors and colleagues. She was physically assaulted by colleagues three times, which included being raped while on government property when she was only 20 years old. She heard the N-word being used multiple times. All of her most rewarding work assignments were taken away and given to her peers. Time and again, she was passed over for promotions for which she was highly qualified. Finally, in 1996, Melody filed the first of several equal employment opportunity complaints. And although the complaint was successfully resolved, the retaliation from agency leadership was brutal. And she was retired in 2005 at only 46 years of age. Melody, if I understand this correctly, even you, after you won your complaint, they got worse, didn't they?
Yes, they did. It was really outrageous, the things I endured under leadership of the USDA Forest Service.
And who was heading it up at that time?
Well, we had several chiefs. The first was Dale Robertson. And then it just went downhill from there. We had several.
Oh, too many Christmas. I want to, if it's not too upsetting for you, I want to go back to this, you being raped at 20 years old. What did they do about this?
Nothing. You know, it was very hard for me to talk about it, Marty, and I didn't disclose it to the agency formally until 1996, when I filed my first complaint. And what they eventually did was send two special agents to my home. And they were two women employees. And they were very hostile to me in their attitude of talking with me. It was clear that they didn't believe anything I was saying. And then nothing was done about it after that. I had told my...
Well, they were paid to make sure they didn't believe what you were saying. They took a
exactly.
check. Yeah, go
exactly.
ahead.
Exactly. The people that they sent to me, and even when I disclosed it in 1996, nothing was done. The agents weren't sent to my house to investigate until I was retired in 2005. So during that period, that nine-year period, when they could have done something, nothing was done about me being raped.
Okay. And what did they do to you during that nine period of time?
My assignments were taken away. I was forced to work with employees who had assaulted me. When one man hit me so hard, knocked me into a partition, it broke a vertebra in my back. I had to go to the emergency room with the support of a good supervisor I did have, Doug McCleary. And then after I had abdominal surgery, a woman I supervised hit me in the abdomen with a book cart. Forest Service would do nothing, so I called the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police, and she was convicted of assault, but I was given a letter of caution for, quote-unquote, making my colleagues lose their temper.
What?
So nothing was done to assist me, yes.
Holy.
I was put on restricted duty and given a formal letter of caution, which remained in my permanent personnel file.
See, now, Melody, you'd have to know me. Had I received a letter of caution, I would have composed my own and sent my own letter of caution back and said, you better back yourself up. The more I hear about this stuff, Melody, and the blatant disregard for particularly women, but for just for sociability, for working conditions, for making it your job tenable. What is going on in the Forest Service? This, and you know, Lisa Donnelly's been chasing this for two decades. Why?
Yeah.
Why does this
yeah.
happen?
It's all talk and no action. The current interim chief, Vicki Christensen, everything that she's done so far, I've seen letters she's written and heard about speeches that she's given. She's doing things that have all been tried in the past and they don't work. Frankly, Marty, until people, every employee is held accountable for these actions, I don't believe anything is going to change.
Excuse me. Lawrence, what are you thinking here? Apparently nothing. Okay. Well,
I'm here.
okay.
Melody, I want to again thank you also for coming on. And I know this can be very painstaking to do so. But I think that you have experienced things that many women in the Forest Service and others have suffered. When you think back about some of the things that may have gone on, and I want to take you back to the Clinton administration, do you think that some of the things that came out of the Clinton administration, the CRIT and the CRAT reports, do you think that that could be a benchmark and a guide to maybe bringing some sanity to USDA? And I think, and I asked that question because I know you were there and I think you were involved in that process. Can you go back and maybe share what your thinking is in that regard?
I think it can be helpful if we only implemented these things. The Forest Service has a plan called Toward a Multicultural Organization that is excellent if it was implemented. These, we can make plans and hold task forces and train people and do all of this stuff, but have a hotline to report incidents. But until the people are held accountable, nothing is going to change. The Forest Service is made up of very bright people, but they protect each other when they do these outrageous things. There's hazing of employees. When I was on the Seminole Ranger District, the Ocala National Forest in Florida, my crew had a welcoming party for me. And during that party, they were all men. They physically picked me up, carried me to a lake, and threw me in water over my head. Now, you have to know I can't swim, and there are alligators in every pond in Central Florida. So I could have been killed. And when I told my district ranger, he did nothing to help me. When I would go out and talk to contractors and say, I'd say, "Hi, how are you doing?" And they'd say, "We're working like niggers." When people would call me a nigger, when I was the first black person to spend the night in Darrington, Washington, I had to go there for a reforestation workshop. And I was walked through the town with a colleague, a white female colleague, so that the townspeople wouldn't hurt me that night. These things pile up.
Tell me also, during this period of time and your career, were there other people in the workforce that came to your support, such as maybe any high officials or maybe a co-worker during this time? Did you get any support did anyone speak up for you during this time?
You did, Lawrence, but not one of my supervisors or colleagues helped me. As a matter of fact, I was ostracized for speaking out against the things that were happening. Beginning in 96, I tolerated a lot up until 1996. And that's when I became very verbal, sharing a lot of the things that had happened. And unfortunately, my African-American friends and colleagues were afraid to be associated with me because they would be retaliated against too. The same things that were happening to me would happen with them. So I can honestly say in my 28-year career, not one person in the Forest Service stood up for me. You did, Lawrence. You did a lot to help me. And you weren't even in the agency at the time I was going through that. But I can honestly say you are the only person who stood up and was verbally supportive of me and not afraid of the being ostracized or retaliated against or the reprisal.
And the other thing is, when you reported the rape and all some of the other incidents, were all these cases investigated by USDA? Were there investigations? Were there any resolution at all in any of all this abuse that you suffered during your almost 28 years at the Forest Service?
The only investigation was of the rape in 2005. Now, remember, I reported that to officials in 1996. And then these two agents came to my house to interview me, and still nothing was done. So all those other incidents, when I would tell my supervisors about them, there were no investigations, no support. Maybe a talking to of the individual who had hurt me, but more than likely a pat on the back for the person who had done something to hurt me, particularly after my first EEO complaint in 1996. They were given accolades.
And the other thing is, Melody, I was a bit shocked when we talked only a month ago. To my recollection, and Marty, this is what happens to women. Many times in the workplace, because they do not have any support from management or their coworkers, many times they are alone. And Melanie, to my knowledge, never told me during this time of all the things that she was going through, and there were many. I never knew, and I do not remember her ever telling me that she was raped. Am I correct? And if that's the case, Molly, can you really explain to maybe the listening audience as to why it took you so long to bring this up and make it public?
Every time I have to talk about that rape, I relive it. Even
yes.
when I'm not talking about it, I still have nightmares. I'm not mm-hmm. embarrassed to say that I now suffer from clinical depression as a result of the hostile work environment and the things that were done to me when I worked from the USDA Forest Service. I had two doctors who certified under oath that the onset of clinical depression for me, including suicide attempts, was directly related to the experiences I had in the Forest Service. And I never told you about it, Lawrence, because it was very hard to talk about, and I didn't believe that the Forest Service would do anything about it. I was so downtrodden by then. I won some battles, but I lost the war.
Melody, how old were you when you started at forestry?
It was 1997, so I was 19 years old.
19, okay. That's what I wondered. And you mentioned about, you know, all of the training classes and the meetings and the speeches and everything else. And this is such a standard method of operation for this agency. USDA in and of itself does this all the time. They put on these big dog and pony shows, but they have no intention of doing anything. But for the public, it looks really good, like they're really – and one of the things that really torques me is that they have to do studies. And these studies take years, and they cost millions of dollars, and nothing changes. Nothing changes.
Exactly, Marty. You are so right. And
yep.
It's just so discouraging that in all this time, nothing has changed. If anything, it's gotten worse. I
mm-hmm.
recently wanted to know how many African-American female foresters the agency employs, because I believe they have about 25,000 employees now. Probably at least an eighth of those are foresters. And
uh-huh.
the Forest Service wouldn't tell me. I had to go to my Congressman Don Beyer, and get him to ask the agency. And after all of these years, 40 years since I joined the agency and was the first black female forester, there are only six today.
Wow. That is unbelievable. Melody, I'm trying to understand something here, and please don't take it the wrong way, but I've heard from so many of the women of forestry how they have stayed on the job. Knowing me, my own personality, I would have too, just to piss them off. That's just the kind of person I am. But I hear a lot of these women talk about staying on the job, enduring this, and I wonder a lot of times, what kept you there, Melody? What kept you there? You're obviously a bright woman. I mean, you're obviously talented. You're obviously educated. Why, when they were doing this to you, and what kept you from retaliating? I think that's the biggest question of all, and I think it speaks volumes about the difference in character of people. These people that did this are of low character. They have no integrity. They have no moral sense, no moral compass, no nothing. And you could have done horrendous things in retaliation yourself. So could these other women, and yet you didn't do it. What was it that stopped you?
I wanted to affect change for the next woman or person of color coming along. The next male
you.
Who was abused too, but primarily women and people of color are enduring these assaults, emotional and physical assaults. And that's what kept me going all these years, and that's why I'm talking to you now. I
yes.
really want to make it easier for the next person coming along.
Yeah, and I hope you can. And the thing is, to hear, like I say, when I listen to Lisa Donnelly talk, she's a very eloquent speaker, And this woman knows her stuff. I don't care what they bring up. She's got the answer. She's got the information. And even with what she has confronted them with time after time after time, and the women that have stepped forward and named names and said, this is what they did, this is who saw it, this is who knew it happened, and named names, and nothing changes. They had a listening session. They're going to look into it. They're going to form a committee. They're going to send it over to this department or that department, and we'll see what they have to say about it. And then they come after you. This is just, and I think anybody that gets caught in retaliating against an employee on any level for any reason who has reported wrongdoing by supervisors, coworkers, and you retaliate against the person who reported, you should be immediately out of a job. Now, that's just my thinking. You should be out of a job. Instead, we see these people promoted.
Exactly, Marty. Promoted. The woman who hit me in the abdomen after I'd had surgery was promoted within 3 months. Two grade steps. And the man who broke the vertebra in my spine, they put big pictures up on the partition by my workspace so that I would have to walk by pictures of him. I was barred from walking into his cubicle. I've never heard of a person being barred from walking into workspace on federal property, but they told me that. I was not allowed to do that. People would scream at me. One lady who was an African-American woman said that she was going to beat me up on the way to my car. So they use us against each other. They use African-Americans against each other. But it's primarily a white male issue, I have to say.
Yes. From what I've gathered, Melody, I'd have to agree with that. And another thing you just brought up here that just irks me when I hear these stories is the willingness of your coworkers to participate in this. Doesn't it ever occur to these people the same thing could be done to them? I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either, because they're being used like a person in blackface. It's just outrageous that they're used against other people, and that really hurts. That really hurts.
And, you know, I've heard this from, like, at the people at the VA, you talk about, you know, being cloistered in one area, can't go here, can't do that. They do the same thing. And what I'm hearing, Melody, from all of these agencies is the same method is being used everywhere. You make a complaint. We had a doctor that got paid for over a year who was stuck in what was the equivalent of a closet, could see no patients, couldn't look at anything, couldn't talk to anybody, but they had to pay him.
Exactly.
Because he dared to complain about fraud, abuse, and waste. And this is the same thing that happened to you. The idea that you would be put on a crew with someone working next to someone who had already assaulted you.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I had to see that man that entire work season. And another thing, when I was raped, I was in a bunkhouse that had one private room and the rest of the sleeping quarters were open. And there was a woman sitting outside the room. The man who raped me closed the door. And I was screaming and saying no and trying to physically fight this man off. And she heard that. And when I was finally able to come out of the room, I was bruised, bleeding, crying. And she said, well, you really had a party, didn't you?
Oh, my God.
So, and this is one of my colleagues. I really had a party. That's what she said to me.
I'd have waited till I got her in the woods and had a party with her. This is making me sick. We've heard these stories over and over. Lawrence, I can hear you wanting to jump in here. Go ahead.
Well, my question is, when all of these things were happening to you,
What offices or what officials, if any, came to your rescue? And if none of them did so, what offices do you feel as though within the Forest Service as well as in the USDA could have done something to correct the problem as you see it, especially when you look back on that very bad experience?
Definitely civil rights, law enforcement, and personnel. And I had a private meeting with Secretary Glickman about this because we were having one of these so-called listening sessions in the Forest Service, and the Secretary was speaking. And when he took questions, I stood up and identified myself. And I said, "Mr. Secretary, employees are suffering. We're being assaulted. We're being abused. There's reprisal and retaliation. It's brutal. Please help us." And he said, because the press were there and everyone's listening, it's a large crowd of about 300 people, he said, "Ma'am, would you like to come and meet with me and tell me specifics about some of these incidents?" And I said, "Yes, sir, please." And he did meet with me. I went alone with just my records of support and details. He had his attorney, his assistant, about five people with him. And I told him in detail, names, numbers, dates of things that happened to me. I told him generally things that other people had told me were happening to them. I could use myself as an example because I'd never done anything illegal and my performance was excellent. I don't mean to blow my own horn, but I was safe in that they couldn't do anything blatant to me, so I thought. And even after disclosing that to Secretary Glickman, I don't remember the years that he was the secretary. He did nothing. And then we got an African-American secretary. I sent him letters, and he just sent them back to the Forest Service to respond, which does nothing.
Right.
It's just a farce.
Melody, can I say something here? I've heard people talking about this, like a hotline for reporting. My concern is this. This would actually be used to find out who's telling what happened and to target them. That's my fear about this. The other thing is reporting it on a hotline, too, is they have your information, and before you can do anything, now what they're doing, they're already lining up their ducks to make sure you don't get anywhere.
Exactly.
I
agree with you
100%. I am never for these hotline tips and call us and let us know. All they're doing is gathering information and basically doing damage control. And by the time you figure out that's been done, the damage has been done to you. They will create things. They will put fictional things in your file. They will do all sorts of things to you so that if you go public or you go ahead and you file one of these complaints, they've already got everything set up to make you look like the worst thing that came down the road since the devil.
Exactly.
So
what happened to me.
Yeah.
On that note,
Melanie,
do you think it's the process or you think it's the people that are running the process or a combination of both? Can you share that with our listening audience?
I think some of the processes are good. It's the people running the organization and the people that they make responsible for taking action. They use it exactly the way Marty outlined a moment ago to get people.
Yeah, and that's what they want. They want to be able to get ahead of it, and it's a way of self-reporting and setting yourself up, and you
that's
don't even
right.
know it's happening. You
that's
think you're
right.
going for help, and that you're reporting something that you know they told you to report. But like I say, my guess is what it actually is a data collection system, and like I say, they're. Before you know what happened, there's a whole machine that kicks in, and by the time you are, like, at the complaint, getting to the point of filing a legitimate complaint, and I mean legitimate in the sense with the proper agency, by the time you get to that, they've already got you. So
that's
I don't
right.
recommend that. I don't recommend
that
to anyone.
I agree with you.
Melody, have you had any success at all? Like, have you contacted congressmen and, you know, other people trying to talk to them about these issues?
My two congressmen, Jim Moran, who retired, and now Don Beyer, have been excellent in supporting me moment to moment. But they help with specific items, but the system is still in place. Still no one is held accountable. People are not fired when they do these horrific things to employees. And the way they got rid of me, I've always had excellent or above average performance. They took away all of my assignments. I had nothing to do. But because I know the agency, I could make productive work for myself. But then they gave me all failing ratings in my performance rating.
Yep.
And it was all fictional, and I could prove it. The thing that protected me more than anything was I documented everything and kept my documentation at home. And I had good attorneys. And the other way they got rid of me, my attorney at that time died suddenly. So I didn't have an attorney to help me, or they never would have been able to get rid of me.
This is just so disgusting. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Yes. Tell us how you felt, because, Melody, you retired in 2005, and you were still a young employee at the time. Tell me the impact that had, why you retired at that time, and tell us the impact and the condition, the physical and mental condition that you were in because of all the abuse that you had suffered at the hands of the Forest Service.
I felt like trash that was just thrown away. My sense of self was gone. I had several suicide attempts because of that. It took me years to regain myself. I'm still on medication for depression, and my doctors say that because the abuse was so severe, I'll probably be on medication the rest of my life. I developed low back pain, which is tied, the science has shown that it's tied to depression, and I am still enduring chronic severe low back pain. I lost myself, and I'll never truly be me again. They've damaged me. What I say is, I prevailed in all my EEO complaints. I won those battles, but I lost the war. They threw me away like trash, and they embarrassed me publicly, and they hurt me, because when you're young, you need to be productive and work. I like to work. And I've not been able to get a job since then. When I was still with the agency, I had a 4-month detail and promotion to GS-15. And I was highly qualified for every GS-15 I applied for. But I was passed over. I placed well on the certificates of selection, but I was passed over. I was blacklisted. So they ruined my career and significantly ruined my health. And that affected my entire life.
Yes. I'm sitting here thinking about the people who participated in this. And I can't figure how, Melody, I don't understand how people sank to such a low level in their own life that they could do this to another person, do it every day, and go home and lay down and sleep at night. I have a real problem with understanding that. And I think it's because I'm not that type of person. I understand your sense when you say that you lost your sense of self. After abuse, this is very common with people who endure long-term abuse, is they eventually lose their sense of who they are. Go ahead, honey. I can hear you. Go ahead.
It's so true. And the rape, specifically. I'm 60 years old. I've never married anyone. And my psychiatrist tells me that that rape affected me so much, I will never have an intimate relationship with a male. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking
right.
about intimacy and
yes,
closeness
I understand.
And being able to be vulnerable. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean, Marty?
Yes, I
and
do.
And that's a big thing to a human's life.
And it's
to
a big thing
to a, have a partner.
To a woman. Intimacy, people lean too much on the sexual aspect because for some reason it's more titillating, it's, you know, more salacious, and so people immediately jump to that. But intimacy and sex are two different things. They may be intertwined at some point, but intimacy with another human being, especially in that kind of setting, the kind of intimacy you're talking about, the ability to form a relationship with a man that's built on trust and integrity and mutual caring for each other, when these situations happen, that is taken away from you. You
forever.
never trust again. You never trust again. And if men understood, and I think they do understand, which is why they do commit rapes, that they didn't. This isn't just a momentary incident that will pass and you'll heal up and go on. It is a lifetime injury. It is a lifetime injury. And women who say, oh, it happened to me and I got over it. No, you didn't. It's manifesting
Never.
Somewhere, somehow in your life. You've been very honest. I have to give you credit for that this evening. You've been very honest about how this affected you. Most women can't speak about it in these terms this openly. And I appreciate you doing that because I know it comes at great sacrifice to yourself to speak about this publicly. But it will help you in the long run. I promise you it will, to have this heard and to have other women out there understand that what happened to you and happened to them has the same consequences. I don't know how you endured this. And I don't. But when I talk to the women from forestry, and I find out now there are a fair number of men who have also been abused, most times not in the sexual sense, and molested is in the sense that you were, but also abused. And Melody, my question is, there is something so rotten at the core of this agency. There is something so dysfunctional and so malignant in this agency that it actually scares me that it exists.
Me too, Marty. And thank you for understanding the effect that rape has on a person's life. Thank you so much. Because, you know, it took me years to be able to talk about it. And when I was in that situation, the man who hired me, Lyle Laverty, is a kind man. However, women in that town, I lived in a town, Skykomish, Washington, that has only 200 people. And they were going to my supervisor, telling them, the women were, that instead of doing forestry work, planting trees, digging fire line, thinning trees, that during the day I was out there having sex with their husbands. And
oh, God.
I was a virgin when I was raped, Marty. Having
oh,
sex
gosh.
With their husbands was the last thing on my mind. And more than one woman did that. And I was so isolated in this little town. I didn't have a car, so I couldn't even get to a church. I couldn't get my hair done. That sounds like a little thing, but it's important to a 20-year-old.
You damn right.
And I couldn't get to a town where I could buy groceries. I was completely isolated. So who was I going to talk to about being raped? There was no one. And it was such a life-affecting, horrible thing that happened to me that I was unable for years to talk to even my psychiatrist and psychologist about it.
Okay,
and I
okay.
will never be whole.
All right, I want you to take a minute here and just kind of gather yourself. I know this is extremely hard for you. And I want to give you all the time you need here to kind of get yourself together. I can hear what's happening. So
I'm sorry. I'm okay.
Don't apologize. Do not apologize. I would have expected nothing less. This is the difference between somebody who yells, "This happened to me," and goes to a party, and someone who this actually happened to and suffers a lifetime of consequence from it. So please do not apologize. But it's okay. It's okay. You're among friends. All right?
Thank you,
Lawrence.
Marty.
I heard you want to speak up there, so go ahead.
Well, I'm having a little difficulty myself. I don't know what I can say, Melanie, about all what has happened to you. And I just find that your courage and your strength,
yes,
is far beyond many of the individuals I've talked with. But I've also seen some very a lot of similarities to abuse women in the Forest Service. But I'm also hearing the response of people in the workplace who have been going along to get along at the expense of other people's pain and suffering.
Yes.
I have never been able to figure that out. And I've never been able to figure out how an agency like the Forest Service, with its reputation, have been able to treat women like yourself and there's so many others. Nothing has happened to them because the people and the organizations that have oversight of this terrible agency has done little or nothing to save and come to the rescue of women like yourself. The one question I do have is that in terms of similarities about the experience, do you see any similarities that's going on in America now in many of the movements that such as what is going on in the Catholic Church, for example, what is going on with CBS, and another top official was fired today, and what's going on in Hollywood? Do you see any similarities there, and do you think that any of this is ever going to roll over and bring some into what is going on at USDA Forest Service?
I do. I think it'll eventually change, but not until people are truly held accountable. And I mean held accountable, like
yes.
The previous chief. He isn't being investigated right now for allegations against him and was immediately removed or resigned himself. These people need to go. They don't need to be just moved laterally. They don't
right.
need to be promoted. They don't need to get awards. The associate chief who was in power when I was assaulted by that woman, he was given a $10,000 cash award for performance. And one of the performance elements was civil rights. And he did a multitude of things to hurt me. I was a supervisor of a unit. He would undermine my authority at every point. He wouldn't allow me to give awards to my employees. He wouldn't allow me to discipline my employees. There was a backlog of executive correspondence when I took the position, and that backlog had existed for years. And within 1 year, I had completely eliminated that backlog. I share that with you to say my performance was high. And
yes.
yet he undermined me at every turn, and yet he gets a $10,000 cash award for his outstanding performance in civil rights. It's outrageous.
My whole thought, you know, the more I watch, like, these offices of civil rights in these agencies, what a dismal failure these offices are. And there again, I thinking the way I do, Melody, I wonder why they were set up. Why, if an agency is so damn dysfunctional that you have got to set up an office to protect people's civil rights, wouldn't you go in and fix the agency?
These
they
people
don't.
They put in those positions give lip service to the employees and are there to protect management. They
yes.
just created a new position and filled it with Leslie Weldon. I know Leslie very well. And she's an outstanding performer. However, I'm not embarrassed to say publicly she won't do anything to affect change. She
right.
is definitely a management sided person.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kind of people that they put in those positions.
Right. Yes, people.
So what you're
like,
saying
go
so
go
what
ahead.
You're saying, Melody, is that what is going on at USDA is systemic in nature, but it goes far beyond. It's a culture not only in USDA, but you're saying that these experiences, especially your last response, was that the people that they put in place to ensure that employees and individuals are treated with the utmost dignity and respect in the workplace, these are the people that are protecting those individuals and those predators in the workplace that is damaging the lives of so many people. And that's one reason why I brought up I wanted to see what you thought in terms of the direct comparison to what's happening in Hollywood, what's happening in the NBC, and what is there any connection or parallel that could be drawn to what's happening with the Catholic Church, especially as it relates to abuse of young boys and other children, females as well.
I wish the agency was making the progress that we see in movements like Me Too and the things that the Pope is doing about the Catholic Church. I only wish we were seeing that kind of progress. But I see nothing similar in the Forest Service. The similar issues, but no action being taken to correct it. The new Undersecretary for Natural Resources and Environment, Jim Hubbard, I know him very well. And I'm working hard right this minute to contact him to try to share some of the cancer within the Forest Service because he's directly responsible for it. He's a very nice man and a very bright man, but I don't know where his heart is relative to civil rights and people suffering.
Right.
And so far, his staff has put every roadblock in my way from being able to contact him. I only hope that that'll change.
Well, if in fact we are able to, the coalition is able to get in contact with his office, and we could have maybe a subsequent meeting with him on these kinds of issues, would you be willing to come forward and participate if that was allowed to happen?
Yes, please allow me to serve in that role. Please allow me to do anything I can to affect change.
There you go. That's what I wanted to hear. What this tells me, Melody, is you didn't give up on you. Don't you give up on you. Don't you let these people put you in that position. I know it's been a long battle. I know you've been through hell. You've endured a lot. You've paid a high price. And that price has been they want you to shut up. And
that's
we're not
right.
going to let you do that.
No.
We will have you back on this show.
Thank
and,
you.
And with Lawrence working with you, I would assume there will be some kind of progress made. Again, I go back to this particular service, if you can even call it that. I've said before, I say it sarcastically, but I honestly mean it. It's no wonder they can't put out a fire. There's
That's
all
right.
this other stuff going on that has nothing to do with forestry.
That's right.
And they can't manage it. And so it needs to be either stopped. I don't know what the federal government is doing out in our forests anyway. They're not supposed to own any land except
That's
territorial
right.
properties and insular buildings and facilities. So why are they managing our federal forests, or what they are calling federal forests? They're actually state-owned. But you cannot have decades-long history, as USDA does, including the Forestry Service, of such gross dysfunction. And it isn't just dysfunctional. It is a predatory agency where things go on that in any other business environment, well, I should say most other business environments, would not be tolerated for a second because
That's
of the
right.
liability. And yet in this agency, like I say, Lisa has documented decades of exactly what you're talking about, and still nothing has changed. Still nothing has changed. Still, the idea that these people get promoted, that they get bonuses, that what was his name took, was allowed to step down and resign because he didn't have time to fight all the inaccuracies in the media. Bull crap. He was allowed to resign so he could keep all of his benefits.
That's right. That's
exactly
what they do.
Why he resigned. And he didn't do it because of some beneficial, you know, thing for the forestry in the country. These people have no sense of country or anything else.
That's right.
I am so sorry that you have gone through this and what it's done to your life. I apologize on behalf of all of us out here that have sat here and listened to this story tonight. And I'm getting little messages from people here that you have them in tears. So we're going to be following up on this, Melody. I want you to work with Lawrence. If there's anybody out there that can make any headway, can kick a door or two open, it's Lawrence. So I want you to work with him. I want to stay up on what you're doing. And
thank you.
Maybe do a follow-up show here in a month or so, see where you're at, see if you've made any, whenever you're ready to do it. Lawrence, what do you
think? I'd love that.
Yes, I would be more than glad to do so. I would like for Melody, before closing, Melody, do you have any burning recommendations? And you've had a long time since 2005 to think about this and at the same time try to get your life together. Do you have any recommendations that you could share that you think would be strong enough to change what is going on? I know accountability is one, but
yeah.
Explain to me what you think can be done if you have any to add.
The biggest thing you already mentioned, Lawrence, accountability. But that means to me people who do these horrible things need to be gotten rid of. Get them out. When employees go to their managers and tell them of these incidents, take immediate action. Believe the employee and take action. Stop retaliating against employees. That can't be tolerated. Until we have immediate action against these people, I don't think the culture's going to change. And that's not happening.
And I think the agencies that are responsible for bringing about that change, which is dysfunctional, which is the Office of Civil Rights, both in the Forest Service and USDA. But you just don't have anyone stepping forward and holding anyone accountable and to address these problems. They seem to turn to, and I think I would say, they spend all their time protecting the predators, using the
yes.
Office of Justice Counsel to do so, and continue
That's right.
to victimize the victim. That's what we are seeing. And do you see any? Are we correct, or do you see anything changing at all?
I don't see anything changing right now, but it is possible to change if we keep speaking out. If we can get these monsters removed, if we can stay strong and not give up, I think we can affect change.
Is that what you would say to other women that are listening or would listen to you in the future? What do you have to say to them?
They need an advocate. I make myself available to everybody. I have business cards that have my phone number on them to serve as a mentor of sorts. They've got to have someone who's got power within the agency or at the department level to help protect them until we start holding people accountable. They have to find that person to help them along, because an individual just can't survive emotionally all of these horrible things that happen to them. That's my greatest recommendation.
Especially,
and stop rewarding people.
Yeah, but especially, Melody, if they think they are alone.
That's right.
And talking to someone who has also been through it, the women of forestry, of course, they all talk and they let other women know they've been through it too. And for someone who's been victimized in this way, abused in this way, I liken it to people who, the men and women who've come home from war.
Yes.
Medication isn't the answer, but going
That's
and sitting
right.
to talk to other people who have been through what they've been through and understand how
That's
they
right.
are feeling, what's happening in their mind, is a tremendous help. So extending yourself out to others in support, if nothing else, just an ear to listen and
yes.
understand what they are saying, I think is tremendously important, and I appreciate that you do that.
Thank
we are
you.
Down here to about 2 minutes left. Melody, is there, if anyone wanted to contact you, is there any public contact information you would want to give out?
Yes. My email address is the best way to contact me. And
okay.
it's just my name
uh-huh.
and AOL.com. Melody
okay.
Mobley at AOL.com.
Can I pull that out for them, Melanie, please?
MELODY MOBLEY at AOL.com. I'm available to anyone who needs help.
Excellent. Lawrence, of course, everybody knows how to get a hold of you. I think you know everybody east of the Mississippi personally. But anyway, we're down to our last 2 minutes. Melody, I want to thank you so much for coming on and for your candor. I appreciate
Marty,
that
thank you.
More than anything. More than
thank
anything.
You everything
yes, thank
you're
you
doing
so much.
And for allowing me to be here.
Thank
well,
you. Thank
we're,
you.
We're going to be doing more on this. I want to thank the Whistleblower Summit and Marcel Reed. They help promote these shows. We do this in coordination with Marcel and the summit, and we will continue broadcasting. It would appear I have got the kinks worked out of this little system, and we got to stay on air tonight. We got blown off, as I said, the last 2 years. And I hear your little babies here in the background.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Don't even worry about it. And but we'll be back. Again, Melody, thank you for being our guest. It was an honor. Lawrence, thank you for being
well,
on
thank,
with us again tonight.
You, thank you, Marty, for having us on. And again, Melanie, thank you for having the courage to come on and share
yes.
your story with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you for
right.
always being there for me.
All right.
Quite
well,
welcome.
You got somebody else that is now, too, so you just hang in there.
Thank you, Marty.
We'll,
thank you for
we'll
everything.
Grow. You bet. And to everybody who listened in tonight, thank you so much. And I think we're back on air and we're cooking again. If not, I'll keep tweaking this system till we are. So if you think I'm going somewhere, you need to think about something else. We'll be back. See y'all later. Bye-bye.